This meeting is being recorded.
Left off at the very bottom of the Afnun Amud Beis. So Ram was discussing the din that appeared in the Mishnah on the list of the Tikkun Olams, that if Reuven steals a field from Shimon, then he sells it off to Levi, and Levi starts to improve the field. He spends a lot of money in fertilizer, he plants trees, etc.
What happened?
I don't know what's going on because I'm in Israel and I don't know what they did with the Zoom account, so I apologize.
No problem. I'll wait a few minutes to see if they get it back up. Enjoy staying in Israel. Welcome home.
Thank you.
Is Rabbi Yehuda sharing next week also? Do you know what's
going on?
Excuse me? Can we share next week?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I need a week like to catch up. I missed a whole bunch of them. So busy.
0.1 miles. Turn left.
Should I send Ari a message or?
Yeah, please do.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm putting you on mute.
Okay, fine.
So at the very bottom of Nun Amud Beis, when Rabbi Chanina emphasizes the lack of ksuvin, does Rabbi Chanina mean to say that it's you require both ksuvin and ksuvin in order to enable you to collect from a shubadim? It has to be something that's both a set amount and written in some kind of document. Or maybe no. Maybe Rabbi Chanina doesn't need ksuvin. The fact that it's not written, that doesn't matter. As long as Yesh is a kitzvah, so then you could potentially collect from Mishubad. So that's the shah of the Gemara. So the Gemara now begins a whole array of different scenarios of potentially collecting from the Shubadim, but potentially not collecting from Mishubadim, which is going to touch a whole different areas of Chiyuvim, which are hopefully going to eventually shed some light on our shah. So Toshba, the top of an aleph, an aleph. The Yitba, we learned the following in the Maseches Ksubis. All complicated story and a little bit of an introduction as follows, that there is a takanas hacham that was made if a person passes away and he leaves sons and daughters. So we know that within Torah, the sons are yorish everything. Technically speaking, according to the pure din deraisa, the daughters don't get anything. But the Chachamim were very, very concerned about this. The daughter's going to go walk in the streets. They're going to starve. So Chazal made a whole series of different takonas to protect the interests of the daughters. We have different klimsim that we do bizman hazeh to try to circumvent some of these halachas to protect the interests of the daughters. But even bizman Chazal, they made certain takonas to protect their interests. So one of the takonas that they made was what's called Isur Nechosim. So Isur Nechosim means that one of the expenses that the daughter's going to have, she's going to get married. So the father's alive, we assume that he would have spent a lot of money paying for our wedding expenses. So the Chacham instituted that we're going to take away money from the estate. We're going to take away up to the tenth of the value of the estate in order to pay for the little girl to get married. So that's what's called Isur Nechosim. So is it a chosim really only makes sense when you have sons and you have daughters? Because the sons are yoresh, so the daughters have mamish, nothing comes to them in the Torah. So to protect their interests, we'll give them a tenth of their value to pay off the caterer. But what if there are no sons? What if a guy dies and the daughter's yoresh everything? So then there's no purpose to have yisur chosim. It's their money. So he has five daughters, so they split up the Arusha, and whoever is single daughter's got to go get married. They use the money that she was yoresh to get herself married. So the whole takana of yisur chosim only makes sense when there's a son around. So now the Gemara talks about the following complicated scenario. So a person dies, and he leaves behind two daughters and a son. The kadma rishonim and nami yisur chosim, the third wife at the top. So the older of the daughters goes ahead and gets married, and she takes the Isur Nechazim, the tenth of the Nechazim, that's what she's entitled to. But we speak a Shriya Ligbos that she makes a man. But the second one was young, so she didn't get a chance to get married yet. And now the son subsequently died. So now we're in a little bit of a confusion, because on the one hand, right now, there's really no reason to give the second daughter Isur Nechazim, because she's got 50% of the Arusha now on her hands. On the other hand, the first one already chapped the Rhine, not already cut away 10% of the Arusha, by getting married 2 years earlier. So what do you do? So Amr Rabbi Yechon says Shnia Vitra. So Rabbi Yechon says the second one loses, because push comes to shove, the Takanas Acham of Yisur Nechosim does not make sense if there are no sons around. Once the daughters are Yorish everything, then the game is over. So Rabbi Chanina disagreed with Rabbi Yechon. So Amalei Rabbi Chanina turned to Rabbi Yochanan and said to him, "Gedolim is Amru." He says, "We know that Chazal were very, very careful about this takana of Isur Nechosim. They really, really upped it in order to protect the interests of the young girls. And we even have the following precedent: Motziim leParnasa, the aim Motziim leMizaynus, that we will collect for Parnasa. Parnasa means Isur Nechosim. It's a synonym for Isur Nechosim. We will collect money for Isur Nechosim, even from the Chosim Mishubotim." So you see that Chazal wanted it as best as possible to straighten the hands of the Takana of Isur Nechosim. So, and after all, we know that we take away from the Chosim Mishubotim for Isur Nechosim, the Emotil Mizainis, whereas we don't collect from the Chosim Mishubotim to support, to give food for the little girls. Only a person dies, so his estate has to support the girls to eat until they get married. So comes the Gemara and says that based on our Mishnah, we don't take away from the Chosim Mishubotim for that. So you see that Parnasa, you see the Chosim is very, very chomor. We're going to do everything in our power to make sure that the Takana is fulfilled. So Rabbi Chanina questioned Rabbi Yochanan, how could you say so flippantly that, yeah, she lost the Isur Nechosim, it's not like that. We don't take away Isur Nechosim so quickly. We had Amr Shnia Vitra, and you just easily say that the second one lost it. So now the Gemara questions Rabbi Chanina's question. So ask the Gemara about Parnasa to make it Kaitza. Should also get it, right? Because you see that Chazal were very, very machmer on the Takana of Yisur Nechosim. They were so supportive, so strengthened that the Takana of Yisur Nechosim, that they gave it even from the Chosim Mishubadim. So too, they should give it to the second girl, even though she technically doesn't need it anymore. That was Rabbi Chanina's tying against Rabbi Yochanan.
One half off the remainder?
It's always one tenth off the remainder. Otherwise, you end up with nothing, right? It's always going to be one tenth off the remainder.
And then they split the rest.
And then they, yeah. And then they'll split the rest. Yeah. So comes the Gemara and says, "Vaha parnasa to make it kaitza." But parnasa, then the Isur Nechosim is an example of something which is a set amount. But mechter voksiva. But the Maaseh is not written down. There's no document. There's no shtar anywhere. To come out to you. And Rabbi Chanina says, so without any hesitation, that you collect from the Chosim Mishubotim. So we had a shaila before whether according to Rabbi Chanina you can collect with something which is just kotsov, which is not kotsov. So here you see for Rabbi Chanina that you definitely can. It's in the Chosim, is a perfect example of something that's kotsov. It's set in stone, the amount, but it's not written. We have a right to collect from the Chosim Mishubotim. Says the Gemara, Shani Parnosa, Parnosa is different. Came in the Isla Kola Kabad Sibadami. Everybody knows about Isur Nechosim. It's like common knowledge that there's a takana of Isur Nechosim. And therefore, it's as if it's written down. The whole idea, the whole mile of a shtar, is to publicize it. Why is it that when you have a shtar, you collect from the Chosim Mishubotim, and with the absence of a shtar, you don't? So So the Gemara says, in the end of Avodah Zarah, because when there's a shtar, then the buzz is out, the word is out, people talk about it. So people talk about it, then we assume buyer beware. Why'd you buy for what? You know the guy's got a loan against him for $100,000, so why in the world did you buy his field? So whenever there's a shtar, which creates a kol, then we're not so concerned to take away from the chos b'shibonim. So when you have a takonis of chomim, like is it a chos, but such common knowledge, so that's considered to be the lach equivalent of as if it's written. So at the end of the day, we don't have a raya. So the Gemara goes on to try to bring other rayas, again, whether ketsuvin is enough, or whether you also require ketsuvin in order to collect from the chos b'shibonim. Masi Rahuna b'manoach. Meisu v'noseim nizonos v'nechasim v'nechorin v'hinizones v'nechasim v'shubadim v'eshi kibal aschov. So here the sugi Maseches Ksubas is referring to as follows, that a person marries a woman and she brings in a daughter from a previous marriage. So technically speaking, the new husband is not really obligated to support his daughter, but out of the goodness of his heart, he decides to do so. And he enters into an agreement with the mother. He's post-sikima lozer as bita chavishonim. So he enters into an agreement saying that, well, here we are getting married, and you have a young daughter. I'm going to support her for the next 5 years. I'm going to provide for all our expenses. And then within the 5 years, they get divorced. So now the chiyuv is still there. So even though he's not married to the mother anymore, but lemaisi, he obligated himself. He's meshubah to continue to pay the supporter. Then, but this woman remarries somebody else. She's a smart business lady. So she makes an agreement with the second husband also that he should support this young daughter. So now you have two people who support her. How much food are they going to give her? She only needs X amount of expenses. So the Mishnah says, as soon as they have to split it, they figure out to make an eitza, how to make a chesh between the two of them, that she has all of her expenses taken care of. So you can have the situation that this young girl has claims against two people. She has claim against husband number one, claim against husband number two, and she's going to get all her expenses taken care of. And now the question becomes, what if both of those people die? So now the question becomes, where do they go from there? So Mesu, Benoseya Nizonos Benechos Benei Chorin, Nizonos Benechos B'Shubad, Shekim Alas Choy. So she continues to eat even from the Chosim B'Shubadim, even though those the Chosim don't belong to them, and the people are dead already, so they don't remember the chosim anymore. So Afa Bichain, she continues to eat. Whereas their own daughters actually don't continue to eat from the chosim b'shubadim, because we learned in the Mishnah earlier that mazon ha-bonos, the chiyuv with the rabban of supporting a daughter even after the father dies, so that chiyuv does not go from the chosim b'shubadim. It's a strange situation. It's a stranger. The stepdaughter from the wife we divorced 3 years ago, so she has a strong claim that his own daughter, because that was the agreement. They made an agreement, so he has to continue to pay, even from the chasim b'shubadim. The Gemara says, because she's treated like a balas chov. So says the Gemara, but wait a second, she's a balas chov, but there's nothing written. Just because it was katsum, just because they made an agreement, just because there's a set amount of time for 5 years, but there's nothing written. So how in the world can we collect from the chos b'shubadim in the absence of a document? Says the Gemara, that they made a form of kinyan. He didn't just stop promising he's going to feed her. He made a kinyan chalit and a kinyan sudar. He took a symbolic handkerchief. And the din is, once you make a kinyan sudar, so that's as if it's written. Because the minute that you make a kinyan sudar, then the eidim go ahead and write up a document following it. So once you say there was a kinyan here, that is the halacha equivalent of having it written down. So the olam, without a shtar, without an equivalent of a shtar, you can never ever collect from the chos b'shubadim. This is considered to be there was a kinyan. That's the case. So then the Mishnah and Ksubas is not parallel. Banos Nami. So the case of his own daughters also, when if we're talking about, you have to be consistent, if we're talking about there was a kinyan chalitah that was made, now, presumably he made a kinyan chalipin to support his own daughters. If he's made a kinyan chalipin to support his own daughters, then, we're going to see it in a minute why. The Gemara is assuming that if you have two cases in the Mishnah, then all the facts are the same. It's like a controlled experiment. The Mishnah is comparing, contrasting, and saying, the stranger's daughters, you have to support from the chas b'shubadim. Your own daughters, you don't have to. So the assumption is that all the facts are the same, except for that one point that one is your stranger's and one is your own daughter's. Otherwise, everything's there. So you're making a kimta, you made a kiddin chalipin to somebody else, to the strangers, to your stepdaughters, so you must have made a kiddin chalipin for your own daughters as well. So he asked the Gemara, if that's the case, so then you should collect from Mishubanim for the daughters, they should collect as well. And so the Gemara, like Steve said, Mishukadalazim will kadalazim. For the stepdaughter, that's what enables her to collect from the Shubadim, and you didn't make a kiddin chalipin for your own daughter. Yes, Gemara, my paska. How could you make such an arbitrary distinction? If you're telling me a story that half the Mishnah is talking about one case, and half the Mishnah is talking about another case, one with a kiddin, without a kiddin, like why would the Mishnah create such a case? Like what leads you to believe to make such a flippant statement that the Mishnah is talking about halfway? So answers the Gemara, Bas Ishto, Davoy, Bishas, Kinyan, Hanima, Kinyan. The question is very simple, that the stepdaughter that your wife is bringing into the marriage, she was around at the time of the marriage. So when you got married, so you made a kid in Chalipin. You made a kid in Chalipin on the Ksub, on the Sefes, on the Dunya, and you made a kid in Chalipin on the obligation that you're accepting upon yourself to support the stepdaughter. So then I understand why the kid is Chal. Once the kid is Chal, it's like a star, you collect from the Shubadim. But your daughter wasn't around yet. She wasn't born yet. So the stepdaughter was around at the time of the marriage. Your daughter is going to be born years from now. So you made a kinyan on someone that doesn't exist yet. That doesn't make any sense. The law of kinyan. Even if you were theoretically made a kinyan, you say to your wife, you know, as you're getting married, you say, listen, when Yetzirah will have children, and I guarantee I'm going to support the daughters, and we're going to make a kinyan to that effect. Because that's nonsense. It's Rabbi Taylor. We can make a kiddin chalip for somebody who doesn't exist yet. So the Gemara says, why are you assuming that his daughter doesn't exist yet? How does she come into existence yet? The Gemara says, no, the following, Milos Kiddin. The Mishnah is talking about every case under the sun. The Mishnah is saying, these are the rules. Stepdaughters collect from Mishabadim, and regular daughters don't. So the Gemara says, according to your Chochma that it's talking about, there's a kiddin. I can find you a crazy case that there's a kinyan even for a daughter. How is that? Milu askin davat yirabish askin. That your own daughter with this woman was around at the time of the wedding. How is that? Mechidami to girsh behadra. This is a second marriage with the same woman. You were married 20 years ago, you had a daughter. Then you got divorced, then you get remarried. So the daughter's standing there. So you have a lot of people standing at this wedding. You have the stepdaughters that are at the wedding. You have your regular daughter from your own marriage to her mother 10 years ago is also at the wedding. So why do you assume that the Mishnah is saying, no, you only took out your handkerchief for one, not for the other? Again, the point is that the case of the Mishnah is not parallel. The point of the Mishnah Ksubas is to highlight this bizarre distinction. Your own daughter, your own flesh and blood, is on worse footing than the stepdaughter. So how can you tell me a story? Well, you know why that's true? Because one, you made a kid, one, you didn't make a kid. That would defeat the whole purpose of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no. The point of the Mishnah is as follows. Elabito de betnai beizdin ka'achla. Your daughter has a right to eat from your food. You have to support her. There's a takonis chachamim to support your daughter. So therefore, when you make a kinyan, it doesn't mean anything. Whereas bas ishto d'lav b'tnei beizin kachla mahani l'kinyan. Whereas your stepdaughter, nobody told you to support your stepdaughter. To support your stepdaughter. So if you choose to do so, then you made a kinyan, and then the kinyan is affected. So now the Gemara is giving a lumdish reason why. It's not that you arbitrarily decided not to make a kinyan for your own daughter, and yes, for the stepdaughter. You couldn't make a kinyan for your daughter if you wanted to, because you have to pay her the money anyway. I'll stay basing to pay the money. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? The Chinegra Gora? Says the Gemara, just because you're also obligated to support your own daughter because of the Tachanas Chavim, if you chose to make a kinyan, that makes it better, let's make it worse. How can it be? It doesn't make any sense that a stepdaughter, you have no shibudim to. If you make a kinyan, then you become super duper obligated, even to the extent of a shibudim. Your own daughter, if you make a kinyan, it doesn't chal. It's not tofes. You know why? Because you were chayv anyway. Just because you were chayv anyway, that doesn't make her status worse, any less. Of course, the kinyan is binding. So tachlis, you made a kinyan. So in the end of the day, the mishnah ksubas doesn't make any sense. You made a kinyan chalipin. So the kinyan chalipin is chal now, you up the ante. Up until now, we only had a chiyav al tznai beizdin, which would have been limited only for bnei chorin. You made a kinyan, so now it throws you into the parasha mishpatim as well. So the fact that there was a chiyav beforehand, why does that impact on the effectiveness of the subsequent kinyan? That's the most question.
What is the second kinyan for a child?
It's not a second kinyan. You were have to pay out at the Chanas of Chadim. A guy's married Rachel. They already have a daughter from last Google their marriage. He married Rachel. She got a daughter. Right. He has a daughter. So now he's chayef to support. When they get married again, he's chayef to support this.
And she has another daughter?
No. It's the same daughter. There are two different girls here. There's one girl coming in who's not your daughter, who's her daughter from another marriage. That's your stepdaughter. So you were makabu by yourself to support her, and you made a kid. What? She had a daughter from 20 years ago, the first husband. This is right, the third husband.
You get married. You get married the first time. They have kids together, they get divorced.
Right. That's right. Let's go Google him. This is a drama, a lot of drama going on here. So the bottom line is that he's got two girls he's got to support. One girl who is his biological daughter. So he has to support her al tachanas chachamim of Bido. And he has another daughter who he personally accepted to support because he wants to be a nice guy, make her mother happy. So he's makabel by himself to support Bas Ishto. And for both of them, he made a kinyan. So the Gemara says, if you made a kinyan, so you made a kinyan.
So maybe you only made a kinyan.
No, so that's the Gemara says, it's not shayach to give it a kippah in the Mishnah. Hochamai is kidding, he made a kid and one out the other. Then the Mishnah would be silly. The Mishnah is trying to highlight and saying that Bas Ishto gets Mishavadim and the other one doesn't. So obviously all the facts are the same.
But it could just be contrasting that
the
for his daughter is only the
same
versus the...
No, but the case wouldn't read smoothly in the Mishnah. If the Mishnah is talking about making kinyan or not making kinyan. So the Gemara's assumption is that you made a kinyan. So once you tell me that you made a kinyan for both of them, so hadu kushla duchta. So why is one collecting mishabatim and the other doesn't? So the Gemara says that to say that because you had a chiyuv based there before and therefore the kinyan is not effective, that doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that elabito came in the base and kachla ematzroi atpasa. The Gemara throws in another factor from left field. The Gemara says that laolam, once you make a kinyan on any case, whether your daughter, your stepdaughter, the kinyan is binding, and in theory, that should result in collecting chas b'shubatim. But it can't. Chazal have to step in and make another takon and say, it is too risky, too dangerous to let you collect from the chas b'shubatim when there was a chiyuv of beis din to start with, because the odds are you probably put some money aside to pay off this chiyuv anyway. You know that you have this chiyuv of beis din sitting on your head, so that's what's called tsrar. Tsrar means you take little bundles of cash. You probably put some jewel, put some money, something away in order to support this girl who you accepted, who you mechuv to pay in the first place. So therefore, Chazal will never ever let you take from the chas b'shubatim. Whenever there's a concern that maybe you paid off the debt anyway, we can't let you take advantage of the lukufos. So the Gemara is still back to square one to try to figure out what is the factor, what is it that ultimately enables you to collect from the chas b'shubatim or prevent you from collecting the chas b'shubatim. Is it a question of that it's katzu, that it's set in stone? It is a question that it's kasu, that it's written, or is it a combination of the two? So Gemara goes back, leaving all these wild cases of Ksumas aside. Gemara now goes back to our original case in terms of the person who stole a field and sells it off to somebody else. So Toshvam Rabbi Nasser, Emasai, when do we say that you don't collect from the Chas B'Shabadim for all the expenses, the fertilizer, or the trees that you planted? That's if the nechasim were already meshubad before the shevach took place. So how in the world could you go after somebody's nechasim meshubad and say, I'm going to collect the money for this chov? There was no chov yet. The other fellow, the kechman and nizol, the kechman and gazel, hasn't invested yet. So there was no chov that existed yet. About kadam shvach shorisha and the mechal shosheni, go benachas mishubadim. But if the shevach was already put into, the money was already invested, so the chov already exists. So then goes day, then the lokeach menagaz then gets everything, even benachas mishubadim. Am mishum lo kadamu. So you see that the reason for this whole halacha has nothing to do with not being kosov, nothing to do with not being kotsuv. It has to do with a different factor, the gamrei. The fact is the chov doesn't exist because the money wasn't invested yet. So Gemara says it's actually mechlekes Tanoim. There are actually three different opinions in Tanoim. What is it that prevents you from collecting a shubadim? Decide. Ein motzir mechilas pesach shvachakos. The bazen ishvavanos. Berachos mishubadim. Rebei tikkun olam. Mepi she ain ksuvin. So the Tanakhama says everything depends upon that it's not written. Says Rabbi Yossi, the real reason is because it's not kotsuv. So ultimately, there are three different reasons in Tanoim why the lokeach min ha'gazla never gets reimbursed from the chas b'shubadim for the sheva, for the trees, for the fertilizer. Either because it's not written and therefore it's like a little bit belpeh, or it's not kotsuv and therefore you can't go after b'shubadim when there's no way of knowing what in the world the amount was. The third reason is because that was the Tan of Rabbi Nassan, that the field wasn't improved yet. So there was no chiyuv yet. There's no chiyuv. How in the world? He collect mishubadim from a chiyuv that didn't predate the shibud. So again, everyone agrees to the basic din of the Mishnah. The reason for the din of the Mishnah, threefold, three different possibilities. So a little bit of a complicated sugya. Hopefully with Hashem, probably the next, I'm not sure when the next, the keys will have, but whatever it'll be. So that's it. We'll continue the next one, the ticket all those. Next week, yeah, I guess we should probably talk tomorrow.
Yes.
We'll try to figure out tomorrow what exactly the... One thing I can tell you, Monday is no shit. Yeah, that I can tell
you. Thank you. Gmach Tzvartava. Thanks, Ari.
Thank you, Zalman. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.